Welcome in to another PFF College Football Live Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wasserman. So we're going live once again, Dalton, not for our review show, not for our preview show, but for a mid-season mock draft. We're trying to do one mock draft basically every month during the season. Obviously, we'll do a lot more during when we get to draft season. But Dalton, we're right at the midway point of the 2024 NFL season. We kind of know what teams are good, what teams are bad, where teams will probably be picking, and honestly, what players will be picking at the top of the draft as well. So it's kind of a good look at to see where the NFL draft stands about midway through the season.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that halfway point is really where you start to separate, like you mentioned, the good teams from the bad. And then I think you really start to take a broader view on the state of every franchise, right? You talk about some needing quarterbacks, some needing foundational pieces, some are already firing their coaches. Then you have teams in the playoff race where you go, okay, maybe they're in the playoff race, but not quite in the Super Bowl chase. What extra pieces do they need? So I think there's a lot of different perspectives that could be taken here, but it's really good to get it at the halfway mark of the season.
Absolutely. So let's pull up the PFF mock draft simulator. You can find it, of course, at pff.com. It's the best mock draft simulator in the game. We have the exact draft order updated going into this week as well. You could trade picks, you could trade players, be the GM of your favorite team, be the GM of your least favorite team, and make the worst mock draft possible if you want for that your least favorite team. Or you can control every single team in the NFL draft, as we're going to do and pull off this mock draft right now. So start off with the number one overall pick currently held by the New England Patriots. And Dalton, we have decided that you'll be taking the odds picks in this while I'll take the evens picks. So you start off with the number one pick with New England. Who are they taking here at number one?
I think there's a lot of choices here. We know New England needs offensive linemen, but they also need a weapon. And I think it's hard at this pick right now with the way he's playing not to take the best football player in the country. I'm going to go with Travis Hunter here. Look, he's a top five receiver in the country per PFF grading right now. Top five corner in the country. You have to wonder if New England could let him play both ways, but he's such a dynamic playmaker. And New England, again, they need help in the trenches. They need playmakers. They need a little bit of everything. I think it's becoming more and more clear each week that Drake May is progressing. They have to surround him with everything. They can work on the offensive line maybe later in the draft. They have a lot of cap space and free agency to work with. They can patch together this offensive line. It's too hard to pass up a talent like Hunter who might be able to play both ways. And even if he doesn't, he's going to help you in some fashion.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick if I had the number one pick as well. And would have been my pick at number two if I had a chance to draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars here. So I think it's a great pick. I think he's the best football player in college football, and I think he should be the Heisman Trophy favorite right now. And the way he's a top five corner in the country, a top five receiver in the country, he's as rare as they come, honestly. So it takes away my pick right there. I'm in a little bit of a dilemma here at number two because I think there's a couple ways they can go here for Jacksonville where they need a corner. They also could use offensive line help, as you can see, and the team needs right there to the right. So I'm thinking between Kelvin Banks Jr. and Will Johnson right now. I think I might go with Will Johnson for the Jacksonville Jaguars here. I know Banks would be a great addition for them, but they are pretty young at offensive tackle. I think they need to get a lot of help in that secondary as well. Will Johnson, I know it's been kind of an injury-riddled season for him. It hasn't really been the season he was hoping for, but at the same time, he's still a really, really good cornerback prospect. So I think, I know a lot of people want to help out Trevor Lawrence offensively, but I think Will Johnson here, it fits a really big need for them defensively, and that's why I'm going in with him here at number two.
Yeah, I could see it. I think offensive line, there's a really good case too. They just traded Cam Robinson. It really looks like they're going to have to rebuild that as well. But they've been struggling on both fronts. They've been struggling on a lot of fronts, honestly, and they just need any way they can to support Trevor Lawrence and really rebuild the entire team around him, because, you know, through the second half of last year and then what we've seen so far this year, it's all really caved in on them. The Jags, outside of their quarterback spot, are looking at a hard reset. So I don't think there's a lot of places you could go wrong here. They just need talent in that building.
Yeah. So go Will Johnson here at number two, basically getting two corners to start off the draft. I don't believe a corner's ever been the number one overall pick. So it's pretty interesting. We get basically two corners to start off the draft here. But Dalton, you have the number three pick now with the New Orleans Saints, who just fired their head coach, Dennis Allen. What are they doing here at number three?
I think you could make an argument that they could go quarterback. They're really locked into Derek Carr for one more season. They could have someone sit behind them. But this is a team that's been struggling in the trenches. That was the case last year. That's the case this year. They're already set at offensive tackle, most likely, with Talisi Fuaga and Trevor Penning. So I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. I'm going to stay with the Michigan Wolverines, and I think I'm just going to take Mason Graham here as a foundation defensive piece. Look, this defensive line, it's gotten older. Some of the young guys they've drafted haven't performed that great. You're seeing a front seven especially that needs to be completely rebuilt, and I don't think there's a better way to do it at the top of this draft than with Mason Graham. You're also talking about eventually they may have to get into the secondary. They just traded Marshawn Lattimore. I think if Will Johnson was here, that could be a pick that they would think about, but I'm going to take Mason Graham. I honestly think I would argue he's the safest pick in the entire draft. I think we know that Mason Graham, I would be very, very shocked if he wasn't a top 10 to 12 defensive tackle in the league with how consistent he is and the way he plays the run in the pass. I think the Saints start rebuilding the front seven with Mason Graham.
Yeah, I like the pick a lot, honestly. I'm in a tricky spot here at number four because I'm not trying to be too reactionary, but Bryce Young did look pretty good in their win over the Saints this past week. But I still think they're probably going quarterback here if they have the chance here at number four. I don't know if you could really say, oh, Bryce is our guy going into next year, even though they're not, obviously they didn't trade him, and they probably will have him on the team next year. I still think they're probably going to add one more another quarterback to that room just because I just don't know if you could trust that Bryce Young will be the guy for you. So then it's decided between, in my opinion, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders for who's the top quarterback in this draft right now. Ward has been really, really good, and I think he's been the best quarterback in the country this year. But I think I'm going to go with Shedeur Sanders here. I think Shedeur just fits kind of what Dave Canales is looking for in a quarterback, and I think he'll fit that offense really well. And I think he has really 2 years of elite tape out there. Now, Ward probably has the better tools than Shedeur Sanders, but I think Sanders is from the neck up is the best quarterback in the draft. Honestly, he's probably the smartest quarterback in the draft. So I'll go with Shedeur Sanders here at number four overall just to get some more, get another quarterback in that room just in case Bryce Young isn't the guy. And, you know, if one of them ends up being the guy, you could always trade the other one, honestly, too. So I'm going Shedeur Sanders here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Shedeur, for me, he's the best quarterback in the draft, or at least I should say he's the most pro-ready. I do think that's the case. I was watching his tape again last night, actually, and it's just so consistent. He throws with such accuracy and timing and just an amount of – just a level of pace from the pocket that looks like an NFL quarterback, honestly. And I know, again, he's not the toolsiest guy. What is he, 6'1 and 205 or 210, maybe somewhere around there. And he's got a probably B to B plus arm, but what he does mentally and the way that he processes defenses, I don't think can be beaten in this draft. So I think it's a good move. I think they can start to turn things around with Shedeur at quarterback, which is obviously the same thing they thought with Bryce Young, but you have to keep swinging in order to hit something, right? So I think Shedeur is a good pick there. Cleveland here at five is a tough one because I think I'm sitting kind of between offensive line and receiver. I don't think this is the year for the Browns to take a quarterback. I don't think there's enough support on their offense. They have way more issues than just the quarterback. And quarterback is a massive issue, especially with the way the Deshaun Watson trade went down. Now he's injured. Now they're really in purgatory. I think they buy a year at quarterback with a veteran or just stall with somebody like maybe Jameis Winston, maybe a Sam Darnold, maybe something like that. But I think they need to build this team on offense, especially before they can draft another quarterback. And you know what? And I think in the long-term interests of it, I'm gonna go with the offensive line. They need a left tackle. They kind of whiffed on Jedrick Wills. I'm gonna go with Kelvin Banks Jr. here. I think it's just they have to start thinking about the long term. They have to start thinking about 2026 and 2027. Develop the offensive line. Build the team. Build the offense around who your quarterback might be. But I don't think I would do it this year if I'm the Browns. I just don't see a sense. I don't see an environment in 2025 where a quarterback can go into Cleveland and succeed. So you might as well build the rest of the team. Maybe they end up in that Arch Manning picture in 2026 or somewhere near the top. But I don't think this is the right time to take a quarterback for Cleveland.
Interesting. Okay, because I think a lot of people would have taken a quarterback there. I think I'm going to sprint this card in right now. I'm taking Cam Ward to the Las Vegas Raiders here at number six overall. I mean, this is, you know, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm picking here at number six. I'm praying that, you know, one of these two quarterbacks between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward falls to me at number six. And I know there's a lot of talk about Shedeur Sanders wanting to go to Vegas, and there's a lot of smoke between those two right now, but obviously he's off the board here. I think Cam Ward is neck and neck with Shedeur Sanders for being the best quarterback in the draft right now. So Vegas desperately, desperately needs to get a quarterback, and I think with Cam Ward here on the board, I mean, this is the easiest pick of the entire draft so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it puts the Giants at seven here in a really tough spot because because I think we believe that Shadur and Cam are the two best quarterbacks in this draft by a decent margin. I know Jalen Milroe's high on the board there, but I have a lot of questions about him. And the Giants not getting either of those top two guys puts into serious question what they should do with this pick. And you know, I'm looking at it now and I'm going, you know what? They've had offensive line issues for a while. And Andrew Thomas is hurt, but he got the extension, and he's really good when he's healthy. I think I'm gonna make a move here that might sound a little funky, but might just help whoever ends up being their quarterback in the long run. Because in this scenario, I wouldn't take a quarterback 7 overall if I'm the Giants. I'm gonna go with Will Campbell with the idea of moving him to right tackle. We're gonna have Andrew Thomas on one side, Will Campbell on the other. It'll be a very similar element to the Chargers having Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt there on the right side. They have to fix so many things on this offense because it's really just Malik Nabers and the explosive plays. I know Daniel Jones played well last week against Washington, but it doesn't seem like he's a long-term answer. I don't know that they would stall with him for another year. I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are getting another year with the idea of taking a quarterback, but in this scenario, to put their jobs on the line with Jalen Milroe, I think is tough. So I'm going to make the safe pick and go Will Campbell, move him to right tackle.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate that pick at all. I think that's a pretty good pick for New York there, obviously with the two quarterbacks off the board here. Oh, this is a tough one now with Miami because I really wanted to get either a corner or an offensive tackle for them, but I don't know if there is one I would take here at number 8 overall is a problem. So I'm trying to look right now because I don't think they would take Tedder or McMillan. They obviously don't need him with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle there for now. I don't know if I would take a quarterback even though, you know, Tua Tagovailoa has not been the most reliable in terms of injury history. Do you have any, like, way you're leaning here? Because I'm stuck right now.
Given this board, I would go secondary. I would take Starks. I don't think Kenneth Grant is going this high. I would take probably Starks, or I would think about Ben Morrison. One of the quieter stories for the Dolphins this year is they've really struggled in coverage despite investing a boatload of money into it with Jalen Ramsey and Kendall Fuller and Javon Holland. I wouldn't hate a prime secondary talent to round it out and get some young talent back there. But, you know, I could see the argument for maybe pushing for a Deion Walker or even, you know, another edge player would seem a little odd with Nick Skorton, but a lot of their guys are older and getting some injuries going. But I think in this spot I would lean secondary.
Yeah, I am leaning that way as well. I'm trying to determine whether or not it'd be Ben Morrison or Malachi Starks because they just signed Ramsey and he actually has been playing decently well this year. You got Marcus May, Javon Holland, Jordan Poyer in the safety room, but Poyer's older.
I think Starks would help them more immediately. Morrison's a good idea because Fuller's not really on like a long-term contract, but I think Starks would help them immediately back there with Holland, and you just go, okay, it's those two back there.
I was leaning Starks as well. I'm going to go Malachi Starks here. It's kind of a weird pick for Miami, but this is just how the board fell for them, and yeah, it's just unfortunately a lot of the guys that I wanted to target for them, like a Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks Jr. or Will Johnson, I mean, they're all gone here by number 8 overall. So I'll go with Malachi Starks, still a great player, still an unbelievable safety prospect, but it's just a weird kind of fit here for Miami just because I think the two things they really wanted were a premier corner or a premier tackle, and they couldn't get either of them here. So I'll go Malachi Starks, though.
Yeah, I agree. And as always, once you get to draft day, it could be a trade down spot for them to get something else that they want.
Yeah, no trades in this mock draft.
Are we going to do one eventually with trades?
We should, yeah. Yeah, we will.
We'll get there. But I think that makes this Titans pick really easy. I'm going to go right at the top there with Tetero and McMillan. Look, this team, no matter who their quarterback is, I think they're in a similar spot as I mentioned with the Giants before. I don't know that they would take the chance on Jalen Milroe. I don't know that he's the type of passer that Brian Callahan would want here. I think to get a number one receiver, to get a guy like McMillan who's got, I think, so many similarities to Mike Evans, and now you've got McMillan and Calvin Ridley, kind of like what they were trying to do this year with Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. They obviously traded Hopkins to Kansas City, which I'm sure, you know, the rest of the league just loves right now. But no, you need weapons if you're going to have any of their quarterbacks succeed. Right now it's just Calvin Ridley and not much else. So I think to get McMillan and Ridley for whoever their quarterback is going into next year, that helps a lot on offense.
Yeah, I think that as well. Yeah, I like that pick a lot. Alright, Dolan, for your Jets here at number 10, call me crazy, but I'm trying to determine between a couple players right now. I'm looking at D-tackle with Kenneth Grant and Deion Walker there. I'm also looking at Ben Morrison for this team right now because I know DJ Reed is coming up on his contract. He's probably going to be free agent. I don't know if they're going to bring him back or not. So I'm between any of those players. I don't want to screw over your team, obviously. So what do you want to do here for your team?
I actually think I would go D-line, and I would go with Nick Skorton.
Wow. Another edge? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Nick Skorton defends the run, and they don't really have any edge presence aside from Will McDonald, and he's not really a run defender. I think this defensive line is one of the most underperforming units in the league, and I know, look, Jermaine Johnson should come back next year, but he's off a torn Achilles. I don't think Hassan Reddick will be there next year. McDonald is much more pass rush than he is a run stopper. Nick Skorton's one of the best, arguably the best run stopping defensive end in the country right now. He's at least up there. I think I would go Skorton, and I would try to. Now you have a situation where you have three solid defensive ends. If Jermaine Johnson's healthy, Will McDonald as more the pass rusher, and Nick Skorton can be an every down guy in the league. Still got to work on the pass rush arsenal a little bit, but I think I would go with Skorton given this scenario.
All right, I'll just take your Jets pick here. I'll take Skorton here at number 10 overall. I think that's a good argument, though, that he is a really good run defender. They just don't have that in the Jets building right now. So, Nick Skorton here at number 10. I don't hate the pick at all. And then you have your number 11.
Okay, Dallas. Oh, I got it. Oh, it's the obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, Dallas, we need to start running the ball, and there's nobody better in this draft to run the ball with than Ashton Jeanty, right? We got to find some balance on offense. Got a young offensive line that showed flashes. Maybe they'll get better in their second year. Tyler Guyton, Cooper Beebe at center, I think has played well when he's been healthy. Ashton Jeanty, look, best back in the country, no question. Might challenge Barry Sanders' rushing record this year. We've been through all the accolades. He's got, what has he got, a 97-point-something rushing grade?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, he's having one of the best seasons in PFF history by a running back, and he's a really good receiver. Because Boise State, they haven't used him much in the receiving game, but we've seen it before. I would still argue he's the best receiving back in the country just based on what we've seen last year. I think everybody's projecting it, and it's the most obvious pick, even if it's this high, where Dallas needs a jolt in their run game, and Ashton Jeanty can give it to him.
All right. Yeah, good pick right there. All right, so I'm actually going to give up two picks in a row here because Eli's Bengals are here at number 12. So don't call me selfish, don't ever, because I gave you your Jet pick. I gave Eli his Bengals pick right
now. Yeah, I'll do it anyway.
Eli, who are you going here for? Your unfortunate Cincinnati Bengals coming off a brutal loss last night.
Sadness is what I'm going with here. Not a lot of guys on the board that I think fit a ton. I mean, I truly don't know. My lean here is honestly Morrison from Notre Dame.
Okay.
Need a lot of help in the secondary. Been a weak spot. I like Grant. I don't know if he's a 12th overall kind of guy.
Yeah.
What
about Burden? I was thinking about Burden when I was looking at them too a little bit.
I think he's – like, I like Burden a lot. I think he's almost too similar to Jamar.
Okay.
I don't think he – I think when you pair somebody with Jamar, you have to almost go in that same vein of like T. So I would love a guy like McMillan with him, obviously. Mm-hmm. But McMillan's clearly not going to be there when the Bengals pick.
We'll see if they keep losing.
They're going to be in purgatory, sadly. They're going to end up in the middle, right where you don't want to be. Like, I've not seen enough of Overton to know enough about him from the edge position, because that's where I would like to go, is somewhere on the D-line. Just not a really good spot, so I think I'm going to go Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame. Need some secondary help. Going to be a lot of moving chairs. Don't know what's going to happen with Dax Hill coming off the ACL.
Yeah.
And don't know if they're really going to pick up his fifth year yet. Like, it's just a bad spot, so let's see what Benjamin Morrison can do.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And LT Overton, I know Trevor's a little higher on him, but like, I'm looking at the consensus board right now. He's number 35 overall on the consensus board. So as of right now, people consider him more like an early second-round prospect.
And not really a classic defensive end like he mentioned. Yeah. Like as somebody, I think, honestly, he would have thought about Nick Skorton if he was available in this spot. That's a little
100%.
More of a classic defensive end. Yeah, Overton is more of that 5-technique, 3-4 kind of defensive end. I do think the Burden idea here would be interesting, because you can just tell. To me, no matter what type of weapons they are, the Bengals need one or two more weapons. I think they're just a little bit short. I think if Jeanty was on the board, I think they would think about Jeanty and jolt the run game, because that was something for me last night that, I mean, their longest carry of the night was 7 yards.
Yeah.
They need something at running back as well, but who knows if they would do it that high. I think it's a good pick, though. I think the Bengals are struggling all over on defense. Any defensive player you take at this point is probably a good pick. All right. Colts at 13. This is a fun one. This is definitely a fun one. You know what? I think, actually, maybe it's not as fun as I think. You have Buckner and Stewart inside. I want to go somewhere on defense here, for sure.
Okay.
I don't think it's receiver. I think the Colts have a really good group of receivers, with Pittman and Downs and Alec Pierce even this year emerging. They've been struggling to stop the run. I know they have Buckner and Grover Stewart inside. I think Kenneth Grant might be a good pick here. I don't think Overton fits their defense. And they could always use help in the secondary. The only thing with Kevin Winston is I'm just a little worried with the ACL.
I don't think he's a first-round pick right now.
Where that stock is going to be with that. I'm actually just going to take Kenneth Grant. I'm just going to bulk up the Colts' defensive line here. They've been struggling all over their defense this year. I think he can give them an interior presence, especially against the run. He doesn't have to play all the time when you talk about they still have DeForest Buckner. They still have Grover Stewart, but I think he can help them a lot. Those other two guys are getting a little bit older. They've been struggling all over their defense. I mean, they can't cover on the outside. If Morrison was here, I would absolutely take Ben Morrison with this. But I think they need help all over their defense, and I think a defensive line pick wouldn't be bad. I'm going to go Kenneth Grant to Indianapolis.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, that's a good pick for them. So I have Seattle here at number 14. I am going to go with the guys a little bit lower on Trevor's board, but I do not think should be outside the top 15 picks. And that's James Pierce Jr. for the Seahawks here at number 14 overall. I think he's having an unreal year. He's actually improved a lot as a run defender this year, as you can see right there, 82.7 run defense grade, still an 80.3 pass rushing grade, 22% pass rush win rate is really, really good as well. Not quite the 90 grade that we saw from him last year. He's still been playing at a really, really high level. And you see in those recent weeks as well, like he is really starting, he had a slow start to the year and he's been turning it on since then. So I think James Pierce Jr. at the end of the day is going to be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. And I think Seattle could use some help at edge defender as well. So I know they got Boye Mafe, who's a guy I like there, but they need some more guys outside of that. So I think James Pierce Jr. is going to be a top 15 pick. I know Trevor's a little bit lower on him than most people are, but I think I would still take him here, number 14 overall. I think it's a pretty good steal for Seattle here, number 14 overall.
Yeah, no, I get that totally. I think Seattle, they continue to need help off the edge. You mentioned Mafe being the one consistent presence. They took Byron Murphy to clog up the inside last year. But I think you're right. It's just too many weeks where you watch a Seattle pass rush, especially last week against the Rams, where it was just non-existent. So I'm with you. Pierce as a pure edge rusher, really good athlete off the edge. I think that helps them. And their opponent in that last game, the Rams, I have here. Another spot where if Malachi Starks were to fall here, I think it would be a shoe-in pick. If Ben Morrison were to fall here, I think it'd be a shoe-in pick. Their secondary is really the biggest issue. But with Winston and the questions about the knee and if his stock is actually this high, I don't know about that. I might go with a fun pick here on offense for the Rams. And I think offensively a lot of people would think, okay, they're going to go offensive line, but I think their offensive line, it's getting better as it's getting healthier, and they've had some young guys playing well. I think it's certainly an option, someone like Cameron Williams, but let me get fun here. Let's go to tight end. Let's go get Colston Loveland and add him to this Rams offense. Look, you have Cooper Kupp. You have Puka Nacua. I think this is an offense that could really use a tight end like this. I think especially all their play action game, and Loveland's a very movable piece. I'm going to go tight end, and I'm going to beef up this offense even more. And I know some people might even say quarterback, but I don't know that right now. I don't think at 15 overall there's a developmental quarterback that the Rams could take to have sit behind Matt Stafford for another year. So let's beef up the offense even further. They've made some home run picks on the defensive line this year. The front seven looks a lot better. Secondary, we're going to have to go and plug some holes there. Got some young players, especially at safety, and I think they're trying to work through it. But without knowing that Kevin Winston is worth this 15th pick, I'm going to go offense. I'll take Colston Loveland.
All right, I like that pick a lot. It's a fun pick there for the Rams there at 15 overall. I'm between two players right now for the Buccaneers here at 16. I am between Abdul Carter, because I think they could really use another edge defender. But also, I know this is not a need currently, but Chris Godwin's a free agent, and Mike Evans is obviously getting up there in age. I think Luther Burden here would be another really fun pick for Tampa Bay. I mean, that receiving core, I don't know if Godwin's going to be coming back after this year. And also, he's coming off a really bad injury. He's had a string of bad injuries, unfortunately, for him as well. So I'm between Burden and Abdul Carter. I think Carter is more of the need right now, more obvious need right now. And obviously, you look at the Buccaneers receiving core, it's not as bad as what they needed at edge defender. But Burden, at the same time, like, is a really, really good talent. I'm kind of stuck between those two, and I'm trying to determine what is the better pick for them right now.
I do think you have a point with Burden. I think offensively he makes a lot of sense. I thought the best part of the Bucs offense this year before Godwin got hurt was Godwin being used as a movable piece to create matchups for him, one-on-one matchups. I think Burden can be that same type of movable piece where he's constantly in motion. You don't know where he is any given play. Mike Evans, obviously, we know is the X, and he's kind of stagnant, and they find times to isolate him. But Chris Godwin was a real X factor in this offense. offense this year. If he goes and you replace him with a piece like Burton, I think it actually could be a seamless transition. I think neither pick there is a wrong pick, but I do think Burton would fit their offense. And what Godwin, if he has to fill in into that Godwin role, then you're still sitting on Evans and McMillan and Burton and even Trey Palmer. I mean, it's a good group of weapons there, but I think losing Chris Godwin and replacing with nothing would be an issue.
Yeah. With that said, though, I'm still going to go out to Carter. I'm looking at the grades for Tampa Bay right now and just their edge defenders, and it's a rough room, man. They got Yaya Diaby, who's a solid player, but after that you got Chris Braswell, who's obviously still a young player, but Joe Tryon, Chawinka, Anthony Nelson after that. I mean, it's not much in the edge room right now. I don't know if I'm completely trusting Chris Braswell will be a long-term starter for them, so I'll go with Abdur Carter, but Luther Burden was a very, very close call. I just don't know if they're going to bring back Chris Godwin. But I'll go with Abdur Carter for now because I do think it fits a bigger need, at least for what they have right now.
I think that's totally reasonable. I think the Niners pick here, and it's shocking to see, and we probably won't see the Niners picking 17 by the end of this year, but I think the obvious pick here for me would be an offensive lineman for San Francisco at 17. I'm between two that we have here in Cameron Williams and Ariante Urser. I think they would both be good picks. I'm going to take Williams. He's a natural right tackle. He's been playing right tackle at Texas. They run a lot of the zone stuff down there under Steve Sarkisian, and Williams is a really athletic player. I think he would fit right in at right tackle, right next to Dominic Pounia on that right side, and they really start building this offensive line, not only for next year and to stay in contention, but building the rest of it for, you know, whenever Trent Williams ages and isn't the best tackle in football anymore and retires. I think you really start building a good base on that right side, and then you can go back, work back to the left side once Williams retires. Cameron Williams at 17, I think offensive line is a pretty obvious pick here for me for the Niners.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it's a good pick for San Francisco. That was the guy I was considering here for Chicago here, number 18. But I'm looking at a couple other things for them as well. I think there's guys that they can use, obviously, like Ariante Urseri, who just mentioned before. I'm also looking at Deion Walker. I think that would fit a pretty big need for Chicago as well, and he's a guy that I really like, and I think he could be a really, really good player in the NFL. So I think I'm going to go with Deion Walker, and I think I'm going to go with him, and I think he's got a really high ceiling, and I think he's played pretty well this year. I think he'll end up after the combine, which he should have a ridiculous combine. I think he'll end up being a top 20 pick in the NFL draft. So I'll go with Deion Walker here for Chicago. That really just fits a big need on the interior of the defensive line. I know they need offensive line help, obviously, with Caleb Williams there, but I think that Deion Walker would also really help the defensive line as well. So I'll go with him here.
I agree. I think, look, the way they run their defense, they're always in a four-man front. It was a problem we saw against the Cardinals last week is they rely on that front four a lot. And outside of Montez Sweat, I don't think there's a whole lot of reliable. I think to get a potential stud in the middle like Walker, and I think there's a very good case in this scenario to take Urseri to find a new left tackle. It's really been a big shuffle up front. You're not going to get any interior offensive linemen in the first round of this draft. So I think those are the two guys they would come down to for me would be Urseri and Walker, and I could see the argument for either.
Yeah, I don't hate Braxton. I'm looking at it right now, like Darnell Wright, they're obviously going to try to build around, but I don't hate Braxton Jones either. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's a bad player.
They have bigger problems on the interior and bigger problems just in general on their offense.
Yeah,
a lot of their offense is out of rhythm. You're right. I mean, we'll see what they fix on the interior. The tackles aren't horrible. They're passable. They're not horrible. They're not great. But no, I like the pick that you made there because it's very clear that the defense right now is the better unit on this team, and at this spot they could bolster it.
Yeah. So you have Denver here at number 19 overall. I think there's a pick here I'm looking at. I'm like, oh yeah, they would.
No, it's this. Yeah. This is easy if this fell to them. It's I think what you're thinking here. It's Luther Burden.
Yes.
You take Denver. Outside of Cortland Sutton, just does not have enough explosive playmakers. I think, especially when you talk about Burden being a guy who can make plays after the catch, and Bo Nix is a relatively conservative passer. He's played a lot better lately when he's protected. He's been, I think, really good over the last four or five games, but they don't have an after-the-catch threat in this offense at all. I think it's the big thing they're missing. Cortland Sutton can get downfield. He can make contested catches. He's really good. He's obviously their number one, but they need somebody who can make plays after the catch. Luther Burden, if he ever fell to Denver at wherever they're at, I think he'd be a perfect fit for their offense. He would make them a lot better.
Yeah, he would. That's a really easy pick, I think, for Denver there at number 19. So good job not screwing that up, Dolan, honestly. I got Arizona here at number 20. I don't know. There's a couple ways here I could go. I know some people are like, oh, they can use another edge defender to get Mykal Williams. But, like, dude, they have Darius Robinson already. Those are two of the same player. I just don't know if I would want those two.
I totally agree.
I would avoid that. I think what I'm going to do here, I'm going to go with Ariante Irisarie. I think that the drop stops for him right here. I think they could still use help at offensive tackle. I know Paris Johnson Jr. is there. They're going to try to build around him. But
move Irisarie to the right side, like we did with Campbell.
And I think that works for him especially because I know this is not always the case, but sometimes with right tackles, those are usually your better run blockers. And I think Ariante Irisarie we've seen be a dominant run blocker before. So you got your franchise left tackle, hopefully, in Paris Johnson Jr. I think Ariante Irisarie would be hopefully your franchise right tackle. And that really just helps out Kyler Murray and that run game, James Conner and Trey Benson and all the guys they got there, because Irisarie is a really, really good run blocker. We actually interviewed him. If you want to check out the interview with him, he's a really, really cool guy. Ariante Irisarie, I'll go with here at number 20 overall. I think just having him and Paris Johnson Jr. as your young tackle duo of the future is a really exciting thing to have for Arizona.
That last bit that you just mentioned about helping in their run game, it's funny to think because they have Kyler Murray and you think about, oh, they're spread out and they have Marvin Harrison. No, they're a running football team. They're a power football team that puts multiple tight ends on the field. And you're right, Irisarie over there at right tackle with the improvement that Johnson keeps giving him on the left side, that would make them one of the better offensive lines in the league for sure.
Definitely. All right, so you have Jim Harbaugh on the Chargers here, Dawn, at number 21 overall. Who are you going with here?
This is a funky one.
Yeah.
I think you're factoring in the Jim Harbaugh culture here, right? Colson Loveland's not on the board, and that's a guy they would certainly think about. I think they would think about Ashton Jeanty if they had a shot to get him. But I think their defensive line is so improved this year that it may not even be necessarily a need because they've filled it with so many veteran guys. I think another weapon. Is it another weapon they need? Something on the outside?
I think so.
I know they've made the most they can with Quentin Johnston. Ladd McConkey's obviously really good. Josh Palmer's okay, but it's the question of would one more weapon to take the top off of defenses help? I'm going to go with Isaiah Bond here. I think Quentin Johnston's already there, but I think it never hurts to have more guys, and I think he would still bring an element of verticality to their offense that I think at times this year, it's a good offense. It's a grinding offense. It's not the most explosive unit. So I think let's get Isaiah Bond's speed in there, even to pair it with Johnston at times. Let Ladd McConkey work underneath. Let the running game work. Let's do that and get some safeties out of the box here for the Chargers.
I like it a lot. I like that a lot.
You stole your obvious Falcons pick.
Oh, with what?
With Abdul Carter.
I know.
That's all we've been
mocking. That's all we've been doing. That's all we've been doing, honestly. So I am still going to take an edge because I think it's that big of a need for Atlanta. They just need something on the defensive line, I think. I'm just trying to determine which one I'm going to take here, though. It's a problem. LT Overton's the highest ranked on our board. Mykal Williams, I know for a lot of people, would be the easy pick here. I'm not the biggest fan of Mykal Williams, honestly. But, I think if you just look at LT Overton's stats, he's been really, really good for them this year. Mykal Williams has really just not been the best. He's a really good run defender, but also, like, that's not what Atlanta needs, right? They need a pass rusher.
Pass rush in the worst way.
Yeah. I think Overton's a better pass rusher while still being an above-average run defender. I'll go with him here at number 22 overall. I would have loved to get Abdul Carter or James Pierce Jr. because I think that it fits exactly what they need on the edge. But I still think LT Overton is like a bigger edge defender, yes, but he's been a really good pass rusher for them this year. He could also help on the interior defensive line if you need him to move inside as well because he's a bigger player, like I said. So yeah, I'll go with LT Overton as a pick here for Atlanta.
Gotcha. I now have a really tough pick because the Texans have a need on the interior of the offensive line that just really can't be filled in the first half of this draft. Interior defensive line as well. Deion Walker would have been a good pick for them. I don't think a guy like Dante Corleone is a good scheme fit. I think this is a tough spot if the Texans end up here. Kevin Winston could be a thought. I don't think. Do we know what is Stephon Diggs' contract situation too?
There's a chance they might move on from him. I know.
That's something I might need.
I'm pretty sure he's a free agent. Let me see. I'll find for that real quick.
But there's definitely a debate about a receiver here. I think also. I mean, I know they have Nico Collins and Tank Dell, but if Stephon Diggs,
he's a free agent.
If he's a free agent, then I start thinking about okay. Maybe I just go directly into replacing him. There's just no good interior options here right now. They're set on the edge with Anderson and Hunter. I think their secondary is really good. I'm going to go with Emeka Ebuka here for Houston.
I like it.
Let's just say Stephon Diggs leaves, and obviously he's coming off the injury, so we don't know what he'll be next year. But I think if you walk into next year still with Collins and Dell and Ebuka, I think they do have to absolutely figure out the pass protection problem. But I don't think on the interior they're going to find that in the first round. So just keep making your offense better along the way.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yes, I think that'd be a great replacement for Stephon Diggs. I think Emeka Ebuka would fit perfectly with CJ Stroud looks do on offense, so I like that. I'm here with the Green Bay Packers here at number 24 overall. There's a few positions they can go with here. I mean, corner, offensive tackle, edge defender, D tackle. There's a lot of guys you can go with here. So I think I might end the run here for Mike. How's Jack Sawyer? Jack Sawyer's playing really well this year.
I think
I might go Jack Sawyer.
If you want
here.
My opinion on this, I think
I don't.
Sawyer. You know, <don't. laughs> I think Sawyer fits their defense
better.
Yeah,
I was looking at
with
him.
The four man front, the way they run it.
Yeah, I was thinking of Jack Sawyer. I'm lower on Mykal Williams than most people are. I understand the high ceiling with him, but it just hasn't really come together for him ever at Georgia, really. So I'll go Jack Sawyer here. I think he's just a better football player right now, and for a team that's kind of in a win now mode like Green Bay, I think that'll fit what they want right now.
I'm with you on that. I think it makes a lot of sense. The Ravens here, actually, you know what? Since they've shuffled some things around, their offensive line has not been as bad. They moved Patrick McCarry to left guard. They committed to Roger Rosengarten at right tackle. I don't know that offensive line is actually the biggest need here for the Ravens. It's got to be something on this defense because we know how many yards, and especially in the passing game, what they're giving up right now. But
Chase at, 260 and three touchdowns last night, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was an all-time performance. I think... It's tough because they drafted Nate Wiggins this past year. You have Kyle Hamilton. You have a lot of guys in the secondary with talent, and they're just not executing. But you know what's – I think – I don't usually like going with this position, but I think they're having issues also with the departure of Patrick Queen, and you're seeing Roquan Smith just not playing as well. And when it was him and Queen together, that was arguably the best pair of linebackers in football, the way they were playing, and everything was just – every gap was filled. They were flowing so well, and I don't think – I know they're really good in the run game mostly because their defensive line is so stacked up with all those big guys in there. I'm actually going to – I'll take a guy to pair with Roquan Smith and try to get back to what they did last year with Smith and Queen. I'll take Danny Stutzman at linebacker.
Love it.
I think it's a chance that the Ravens can take because, honestly, in their back seven, especially in coverage, it can't get any worse right now. And I know Stutzman there isn't a great coverage player. He's very aggressive. I think he makes a lot of mental mistakes. He's so aggressive. But I think to pair him with Roquan like they had with him and Queen last year, I think I might take the gamble on that here. I think it's a spot where the Ravens could take a gamble on a few guys. It could be Danny Stutzman. It could be Mykal Williams. Maybe it's Siobhan Revelle and coming off the torn ACL, but it's a tough pick, I think, for this team that has really so few holes. And the thing that would make me not go back to corner again is just you drafted Nate Wiggins last year. They just got to keep playing him and get him through the rookie bumps.
Yeah. Don, you know what I have to do here, right, for Philadelphia?
Wait, hang on. Let me think.
It's I think it's pretty obvious, just considering what they've done historically. You got to take the Georgia Bulldog here.
They're just going to roll. We'll roll with it. Okay.
I think I'm taking Mykal Williams here. I think this is the pick that they probably would make. They obviously love Georgia with all the players they have, especially on the that Georgia defensive line. Then they're going to have Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, now Mykal Williams as well. I'm going to go with Mykal Williams here. I think they could use help at edge defender, get a little younger there. I mean, obviously, Brandon Graham will not be playing forever, or maybe he will, honestly, the way he's going. But I think that they are going to try to get another edge defender in there. Bryce Huff just has not been what they wanted, getting him from the Jets. Nolan Smith has had kind of a slow start to his career as well. Josh Sweat is a fine player, but he's nothing special. And like I said, Brandon Graham is almost 37 years old right now, and he's still playing at a high level. He's still been the best edge defender they have. But at the same time, he's not going to play forever. So I'll go with Mykal Williams here. I think that fits a need for them, and obviously it fits the trend that Howie Roseman loves doing, which is taking Georgia Bulldogs to the top of the draft.
No, I think that's totally reasonable. You're talking about a team that generally in the draft comes away with a lot of luxury somehow, and it's really astounding how they do it every single season, right? I mean, it feels like they're just constantly – it's like they're conning the other 31 teams, and I think they've done it again this past year, and they'll probably continue to do it again. Steelers are a weird pick here.
Can I make a recommendation for my Steelers?
If you want.
I think they might go Jalen Milroe if he drops this far. They gotta try a young quarterback. They can't just keep throwing out like mercenaries that are veterans.
But he's not ready.
I know, but bring back Russ and start him
or Fields. I don't think they're going to take a guy unless they're super confident that that's the guy.
Okay.
And I'm not super confident that Milroe is that guy either, especially, I don't know, for their offense. I don't know when
they're going to have the opportunity to get a quarterback, like a first-round caliber quarterback like that again with him dropping this far when they're always going to be a top, you know, they're always going to be in playoff
hunt. Yeah, this is the problem is like they're never picking in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
And they're not very – I don't think they're usually very inclined to trade up either if I remember the Steelers properly. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Oh,
I think
I gave you your Jets pick, and you want me to give my Steelers pick.
I mean, if you want Jalen Milroe, we can do it. No, we can.
I'm curious what you think though for this. What are you actually winning?
It's either another defensive piece or receiver. I think Elik Iemanar. You know, because I think if the problem is okay, they got Mike Williams, but if you drop Jalen Milroe in, and even going into next year, if you still have George Pickens as your only perimeter weapon, I don't know where that gets you. Right, and I think obviously this is a team that wants to win with their defense and being tougher in the run game and all of that. I get it. I get what you're saying. Like, take a swing, but also if they take a swing with a quarterback in their current form, I don't know that it does them any good. So, I mean, if you want Milroe, you did give me the Jets pick. You want me to go Milroe here? I can do
please.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Steelers get Jalen Milroe because, well, Max says he's the guy for the future.
Thank you. I'm not saying he's going to be the guy for the future. I think at some point you got to take a swing, though. And I think this is.
But
the...
I think I'll say this: he absolutely, to me, needs to sit for a year.
Oh yeah,
he needs.
There's
that,
no question.
He needs
he's
that
not
year
starting.
Of sitting behind.
No, he's not starting.
That,
yeah.
that Anthony Richardson didn't get.
No, he is not starting. That's for sure. Yeah, I've no doubt about that. All right, here for the Vikings at 28 overall.
We go Jalen Milroe just to confirm.
Yes, we did go
okay,
Jalen Milroe. I forced Dolan's hair in there. So.
No, not that for the Vikings. Right?
No. He's asking for.
Oh,
Steelers.
For the Steelers.
Yeah. Okay, I am looking probably at corner. I know running back would be something that some people would like, but I wouldn't take Quinshon Judkins, especially the year he's having. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go with Siobhan Revelle has had a decent start, but he's been hurt. But he's a really athletic player. Jade Barron's balling this year. I think Jade Barron would be a good player. I think I'm gonna go with Siobhan Revelle though. I think with Brian Flores, if he's still the D coordinator, he probably will be. Because I don't know if he'll get a head coaching job. But I think I'll go with Siobhan Revelle as the pick here. He's a really high ceiling player, and if there's any defensive coordinator that I trust to extract that ceiling, it's Brian Flores. So I'll go Siobhan Revelle to the Vikings.
I think that's reasonable. You got a coordinator in Brian Flores who likes to mix up coverages, and if he wanted to go more man-to-man coverage, I think that's Revelle's specialty. I think that's a very, very good fit. 29 here, the Washington Commanders. I'll tell you what, I love the trade that they made for Marshawn Lattimore fixing up their secondary, but I think Dan Quinn will obviously want to do it further. I think their secondary now is becoming... It is their biggest weakness, and I think it's just something naturally that was going to be their biggest weakness with just the struggles last year, and it seems like Emmanuel Forbes was on the trade block before the deadline, and that hasn't really worked out as last year's first-round pick, but I'm going to go to safety. I think this is a team, if they got to him, that would take a chance on Kevin Winston Jr. I think he's,
okay.
When he's healthy, super high-floor player, one of the best tacklers in the country, really good in coverage, doesn't make a ton of plays on the ball, but I think that's in part because he's always in the right spot. I mean, this is as fundamentally sound a safety as you could find. I think Dan Quinn would love him here at 29.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it'd be a really, really fun pick for Washington in that secondary. I want to remind people that we're using the PFF Mock Draft Simulator. You can find at pff.com where you could use, obviously, every team, like we're doing right now. You could also just pick for your own team. You could do up to four rounds as well of the PFF Mock Draft Simulator. So it's going to be a really, really, it's the best mock draft simulator on the planet, I would say. And you could trade players, you could trade picks, obviously, as well. And once we add more players to the draft board, we'll be getting up to a full seven rounds as well. We will do a seven-round episode here on the PFF College Football Show, but if you want to, maybe we will. At the end of the year, we'll do a five-hour live show. But if you want to check out the PFF Mock Draft Simulator, you can check it out at pff.com. Like I said, it's the best mock draft simulator on the planet, in my opinion, although I am a little biased, obviously. All right, so at number 30 overall, with Kevin Winston Jr. going off the board, I have the Buffalo Bills, who I think will go somewhere in the front seven here, whether that be an edge defender, whether that be a D-tackle, or whether that be a linebacker for Buffalo. So I'm just kind of looking at what are the guys available for them right now. I know the highest-ranked player for them in the front seven is Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama. There's a couple other players, too, that are pretty good that are available here for Buffalo.
I think I kind of like Campbell here.
I was looking at him.
Eventually their linebackers, especially in run defense, are going to be a major problem come playoff time. Right now it's Terrell Bernard, it's Dorian Williams. Matt Milano suffered another season-ending injury, second year in a row with that. I think if there's a team at the bottom half of the first round here that could take a linebacker, I think Campbell for the Bills might improve them the most. I totally get if you take a defensive lineman too, it feels like outside of Greg Rousseau, they always need one. But I linebacker to me is the biggest hole in the entire team right now.
Yeah, I was going to take Campbell. I think you've got Dorian Williams, Terrell Bernard, Baylen Specter. I mean, Matt Milano's been obviously banged up a good amount, but they need help at linebacker. So, yeah, I'll go Jahad Campbell here as the pick for Buffalo.
I'm with that. I think I'm all for it. Tell you what, the Bills don't have many holes, but the ones they have are pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Another team with not very many holes, the Detroit Lions. And you know what? There is one obvious one, I should say, on their team. I mean, it's been talked about with the Aiden Hutchinson injury. And even without the injury, it was talked about that, okay, what is their other edge presence outside of that? So I think you know, you have your pick of guys here. And I think part of this goes, you know, okay, who's the Dan Campbell type of guy? And I know there's some good answers here. I think Shamar Stewart's a good player. I think Princely Amon-Mielen's a really good player, obviously, as a true pass rusher. Donovan Eziraku is a really balanced player, plays a physical brand of football over there at Boston College. He's a really consistent player for him. I think though, of that group, I think I would take a chance on a guy that I think is the highest upside pass rusher. I'm going to go with Princely Amon-Mielen here from Ole Miss. Former Florida Gator who's really good for 3 years over there, having another great season for Ole Miss. We'll see how he plays against Georgia this week. It's a huge week, but I'm going to take Princely Amon-Mielen. I think no matter what, the Lions' question marks are going to come from, okay, the pass rush off of the edge. McNeil and Reeder are really good on the inside. Hutchinson, when he's healthy, is an elite player. They still have questions even when Hutchinson is healthy. Obviously, they just traded for Za'Darius Smith, but that's only going to be for the rest of this season. I'll take Amon-Mielen. I think he's had a spectacular year. I think the length that he gives you, got long arms out there. He's pretty explosive, got good bend. I think it's a solid pass rusher for them to get on the other side of Hutchinson for next year.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. Next up is the Kansas City Chiefs right now, the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL, trying to go for a three-peat. I'm going to go with a guy who's also had a spectacular year, and that is Wyatt Milam here. I think he has been the best offensive lineman in college football. I really do think he's playing his way into the first round this year. He's been – look at those grades right there. I mean, he's been dominant as a run blocker, dominant as a pass blocker. I do not believe – I got to check, but I do not believe he's even allowed a pressure this year, which is insane when he has like 206 pass blocking snaps this year. Yeah, zero pressures allowed so far this year, while also being one of the best run blockers in the country as well. So great in zone. I see really good in gaps game as well. He just fits everything. And I think Kansas City could use a little bit more help at offensive tackle. I know they drafted Kingsley Suamataia, but I just think Wyatt Milam fits a need for them here. And honestly, he's been the best offensive lineman in the country this year as well. So I'm going to go with him here as the pick to round out the first round of the mock draft.
No, I agree with that. I think left tackle has been a big concern for the Chiefs. They could always reload more on defense, and they usually do it later in the draft anyway. But I think it makes a lot of sense. And Milam, too, I think one of the big things, they run a lot of diverse run schemes down there at West Virginia, and he's used to all of them. He's played a boatload of football. I think, if nothing else, I think he's a really high floor player that would make them better.
Absolutely. So let's look at the recap the first round of our mock draft. So at number one overall is Travis Hunter, the receiver slash corner from Colorado, going to the Patriots. Number two, Will Johnson going to the Jaguars. Number three, another Michigan player, Mason Graham going to the Saints. Number four, Shedeur Sanders going to the Panthers. Number five, Calvin Banks Jr. to the Browns. Number six, Cam Ward to the Raiders. Chargers. Number 7, Will Campbell to the Giants. Number 8, Malachi Starks to the Dolphins. Number 9, Tedrone McMillan to the Titans. Number 10, Nick Skorton to the Jets. Number 11, Ashton Jeanty to the Cowboys. Number 12, Benjamin Morrison to the Bengals. Number 13, Kenneth Grant to the Colts. 14, James Pierce Jr. to the Seahawks. 15, Colston Loveland to the Rams. 16, Abdul Carter to the Buccaneers. 17, Cameron Williams to the 49ers. 18, Deion Walker to the Bears. 19, Luther Burden III to the Broncos. 20, Ariante Ursary to the Cardinals. 21, Isaiah Bond to the Chargers. 22, LT Overton to the Falcons. 23, Emeka Egbuka to the Texans. 24, Jack Sawyer to the Packers. 25, Danny Stutzman to the Ravens. 26, Mykal Williams to the Eagles. 27, Jalen Murrow to the Steelers. 28, Trevon Revell to the Vikings. 29, Kevin Winston Jr. to the Commanders. 30, Jahad Campbell to the Bills. 31, Prince Lee Monmielen to the Lions. And 32, Wyatt Milam to the Chiefs. Dalton, for you, what was your favorite pick out of our mock draft right here?
That's a tough one. I think there's some obvious ones. Like when you talk about, I think McMillan to the Titans is a really good obvious one that would work. Ashton Jeanty to Dallas, you know, we've talked about a lot. I do like Cameron Williams going to the 49ers a lot. I think again, they just got to keep building the rest of this offensive line. I think it's a natural fit at right tackle for them. And you know, Luther Burden to Denver. That's one where it's like you watch this Denver team, Sean Payton's coaching them. I think even a little above their talent level, their defense is good. Bo Nix has been really solid when they've protected him. And I think to add an explosive playmaker like that could make Denver a real playoff. I mean, they're a playoff threat now, but I'm talking about, you know, that's the first step towards being a real, real contender. And I think even when you talk about Burden in the fit with Nix, he could do a lot of the same things that Tez Johnson could do with Bo Nix at Oregon. So I think that would be a great fit.
Yeah. I kind of like the Mykal Williams to Philadelphia just for the continuing the Georgia Bulldog connection to Philly, honestly. And I think it also fits a need there for them at edge defender. I think Abdur Carter would really be a great pick for the Buccaneers at 16 overall if they're able to get him. James Pierce Jr. the same thing for the Seahawks at 14 overall. So those are a few of the picks I really liked in our mock draft. And of course, like I said, you can find it all at PFF.com with a PFF Plus subscription. Obviously, you get the mock draft simulator, up to 4 rounds of the best mock draft simulator on the planet with drafting players and also trading picks and trading players if you want to do that as well. Also, you get access to all of our betting tools to help you hopefully make money on all of your bets for the NFL and college football as well. And the best fantasy tools on the planet as well from the great Nathan Yonke and some of our other great fantasy analysts to just help you win in your fantasy league. All that is available with a PFF Plus subscription. Plus, of course, all the college football grades as well that you can get for every single player and every single play and every single team at the FBS, FCS, even some D2 schools as well if you want to do that as well. So, yeah, so we got for our midseason mock draft for the 2025 NFL draft. I want to remind you guys, on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we will be going live with our Week 11 review show, going over the biggest results from what should be a chaotic Week 11 of college football. So, again, Sunday at 9 a.m., make sure you guys stay tuned for our live Week 11 review show. For Dalton Wassman and for our producer Eli back there, I'm Max Shadwick, and we'll see you guys on Sunday morning for our Week 11 review show.